A day in South Florida sports history, unlike we've ever seen. Because of a pandemic, we have an NBA team in the NBA Finals, and we have a baseball team simultaneously in a postseason that's been expanded. A marquee matchup, both of them. The NBA Finals, Miami versus the LA Lakers. Yeah. Miami Marlins versus the Chicago Cubs. History between both teams and a 2 p.m. start. And a 9 p.m. start that maybe a few months ago wouldn't have seemed out of line, but now I think we're all just sort of like laboring. How are we going to do this?
How are you going to get through the day? It's interesting. So you got a baseball game at 2 o'clock, a basketball game at 9 o'clock. Figure the baseball game's over at 5 o'clock. What do you do with those 4 hours in between? And, you know, I know Billy agrees with me on this. That's not a 9 o'clock tip. It's like a 9:42 tip. So you have like 4.5 hours you got to kill between Marlins baseball and Heat basketball. Billy, I suppose you could do it with more baseball games. There's 8 playoff games today in Major League Baseball.
Oh, no. Between playoff game and playoff game, there's going to be a nap for sure. Because I can't on a normal day stay up until, man, this is going to be like a 1 o'clock in the morning game. You know, this is the thing about the finals, right? When LeBron was down here, it was fun games and everyone was excited about the finals. You're like, oh my God, the finals. And then every year, we're forgetting about this, but every year we kind of reach this point by game two of the finals. It really would start like in the conference finals, right? Where you're like, oh my God, this is every day. And it's every day until like 1 a.m. And then it doesn't stop at 1 a.m. because I want to see all the juicy post-game gaz. So you're there and you're watching the interviews and you're reading Twitter and you're trying to see what everybody's saying about what just happened. And by the end of it, win or lose, you're like, I'm just glad the finals is over. If we get a trophy, we can celebrate this is even better. But I'm ready for a break, which is why you guys would always take like 3 weeks off after the NBA Finals because it was just exhausting. And guess what? There's no 3 weeks off this year.
Nah.
There's just more of it.
Nah.
Because as soon as that's done, you're by week like 4 in football or 5 in football. I don't know how long are these finals going to last? It's going to be one of those things that lasts like 6 months because it's like one day off, one game.
Billy, there's no 3 weeks off. I mean, as soon as the finals are over, the next NBA season starts. I mean,
well, no, I'm saying 3 weeks off between the games. I don't know how basketball gets away with it, where they play one game, they take off a month, and they come back and they play another game, and then there's travel days. There's no traveling, all right? You're going from like the hotel to the court, and that's it. No one's traveling.
I think the biggest break that we have in this NBA series is between games 4 and games 5, where it goes from October 6th to October 9th. Thankfully, if and when the Miami Heat sweep the Los Angeles Lakers, we don't have to worry about that 3-day waiting period, and this thing can be over by early next week.
Right, you have that. There's that Tuesday game, then a Friday game. So that's the longest. At baseball, Billy, I think doesn't have any breaks, right? At least through the first two rounds.
I mean, unless you win your series early and you're just waiting for the next one to start, there's no off days. No days off. Right.
What's the pitching matchup today between the Marlins and Cubs? Is Yu Darvish towing the slab for Chicago?
I think it's Lester, isn't it?
No, it's Hendricks.
What?
Kyle Hendricks, who at first I thought was Liam Hendricks, and I'm like, Liam Hendricks is still in the league. Remember Liam Hendricks? He played on like 1,000 teams, and he wasn't very good, and then he was good, and you're like, wait a minute, Liam Hendricks is an all-star? How did that happen? It was like 10 years into his career, he bounced around. I think it was like on the A's, and he was like on the Twins. It's not Liam Hendricks, though. It's Kyle Hendricks, and he's going up against Sandy, and I'm telling you, people are going to think I'm crazy. I like these matchups. I like the way this has fallen into the Marlins' hands. I like that they're playing the Cubs. I like their 1-2 combo. Now, talk to me at 2:30, and if Sandy's given up like 3 runs in the first 2 innings, I'm not going to be feeling the same. Because the thing about a best-of-3 series, guys.
Yeah, you can't lose that first one.
If you lose the first one, all bets are off. It's panic mode time. Sarah Spain, by the way, who's coming on later because she's a Cubs fan and she has an event tomorrow. Sarah Spain has like the cheat code. She's watching these games from the roofs across the street in Wrigleyville. How is that cool? Like, how did she do that? And then people were saying like, oh my God, you must have paid a lot. And she's like, it's free. We need to ask her about this because I'm pretty sure if I just walked up there, I couldn't go up to the roof of that bar in Wrigley Field and watch from across the street. So I don't know how it's free. I don't know if she bought the building. I don't know what's going on there because remember, her husband's a secret billionaire. So I don't know if that's how she's watching these games. I don't really know what's going on there, but she's going to come on later and she's going to talk a lot about the Cubs. And I'm trying to be reserved and I'm trying not to get into a feud with her about this because I also know that it's only 3 games. and you only need to win two, and this could be done by tomorrow at 4:30 in the afternoon. And do I really want to say all these things that I'm going to immediately regret at 4:30 in the afternoon? But once she starts, I know that I'm going to say something about the Marlins beating the Cubs, and I'm going to have to live with it forever if they don't win. So I'm trying to be calm. I'm trying to be patient. I'm trying to just breathe in slowly.
Yeah.
Watch the games one pitch at a time. Do my part from my couch. Root on the fish. Objectively, of course, I'm not going to have a rooting interest because I'm in the media, but I'm going to be watching the games.
You're wearing a Marlins cap and shirt.
Well, that's, you know, don't worry about that.
Right.
I'm still watching these games as a, you know, unbiased member of the media.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have anything left by the time the finals roll around, Billy?
That's what I'm telling you. I need
this
nap.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
So much is going to be taken out of me. And these playoff games, playoff baseball lasts forever also. It's like 4-hour games. I don't know what it is. And I've never seen an ABC game, so I don't know how many commercials we're going to have to deal with.
So, Billy, hold on. If the Marlins win, right, let's say there's a huge bottom of the ninth.
Today, bottom of the ninth,
walk off. Everybody's happy. The game's
in Chicago, so if they I'm going to be very upset.
Yeah. Yeah, hold on. You know what I mean, though. There's a hit in the top of the ninth. Mm. Marlins take the lead. They close the door on the Cubs. How do you sleep and take a nap from 4:30
I won't be
to,
able
to 9 o'clock?
That's I won't be saying. Able to. There's no. I way. Couldn't sleep on Friday when they clinched. I couldn't sleep. I was just up. I was watching. It was like the most strangely emotional regular season clinching game ever, where Mattingly is crying and Rojas is crying and everybody's crying, talking to Jessica Blaylock, who I think was also crying. I couldn't tell. I'm like, is she crying? I don't know if she's crying.
Blaylock was crying?
It was an emotional day, man. Emotions were running high.
My voice.
You got a little choked up while you were saying
that. I did. I started crying.
Stugatz is crying.
Yeah.
So this game...
She has to remain neutral. That's the only reason I brought that up. Anyway,
like
sorry. I digress.
So all three games are slated for Wrigley, and then this is the last round where they're going to each site, right?
They go to the bubble.
Then they go to the bubble?
Yeah.
Then they're in the bubble.
Yeah.
And you know what happens in the bubble?
Anything.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen? Well, I think the two things can happen, Cincinnati or Atlanta. I think those are the two things that can happen. And we're all rooting for Cincinnati, although Cincinnati's top three starters have been amazing this year, haven't they? They got that. Wasn't Luis Castillo a Marlin at some point?
Yeah, he was. I think we traded him for Matt Latos.
My Bauer's been good. Are we rooting for the Reds because of why?
Well, because
they're not the Braves.
Because the Braves have absolutely smashed the Marlins this year. Okay. If I know Billy hates run differential, but if we look at the run differential in their head-to-head matchups... Well,
guess what happens today? The run differential 0-0. Clean slate. Guys, the NBA finals are tonight. I feel like no one wants to hear about the Marlins except for me.
No, this is weird because this is a massive sports day in South Florida. One of the biggest sports days ever, where you have two playoff games, one of them an NBA finals game. And I'm with Billy. Mike, I expected you right off the top. Like, you got Heat, you got Lakers, LeBron. You got LeBron not really addressing the Riley question asked by Dave McMenamin the way he should have. Okay, I can't say that name very well.
He finally got around to it.
He got around to it. It took him a while. Yeah, whatever. And Mike, I'm surprised you were not fired up. 9 o'clock. I thought that's super, where we were going to lead today.
Super fired up. I mean, I'm not the only person on this cast, though. I've seen plenty of Miami Heat playoff runs. This is only the third playoff run such that it is in Marlins' existence, and we're going in order of events today. It's a 2 o'clock start on ABC.
Okay, I didn't know we did that.
I'm excited about it too. I'm gonna be watching this. I'm still learning the team. It's a byproduct of watching most of their games on mute.
Yep.
But yeah, the playoff baseball is a different animal. I've never seen this round of the playoffs, so I wonder if the intensity is going to be there. I'm curious to experience it for the first time like everybody else. But yeah, there's an NBA Finals game tonight. LeBron kind of gave us the bait on Pat Riley and then walked it back some.
A little bit.
I think he kind of realized what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
An unfair shot at Dave McMenamin. I think everybody kind of understood what Dave McMenamin was looking for.
Yep. LeBron, except for LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron's doing this thing where he's starting to put stuff on the media. Like, it's the media's fault that Eric Spoelstra isn't considered a great coach, which is just an absolute straw man at the time. But This is the strangest NBA Finals experience for me, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I'll bounce it around the horn, but in 2006, obviously, you had the pressure of you got to do it with Shaq. You mortgaged the future in Caron Butler and Lamar Odom, and you gave up great players, and Shaq is of a certain age, so you got to get this done. You have to win with Shaq. And then they entered that NBA Finals, people forget, as an underdog, and quickly went down 0-2.
Yeah,
but there was immense pressure associated with that.
Refs bailed them out game three, but anyway.
With the big three, there was immense pressure on every regular season game. So you knew by the time you got to the finals and you lived through the series with the Pacers and Bulls and Celtics, your intestines were a mess. You were a nervous wreck. And I think we all lived it where after those games, like, peel me off the floor with a spatula. This one's different because it's house money. At least entering it, for me. I'm a huge Heat fan. I love the Miami Heat. I want to beat LeBron James in the NBA Finals. But as a five seed, making this run that nobody expected, I'm just sort of, let's roll out the ball. Let's go. I love being the underdog. Beat us if you got the guts. I'm not going into this game nervous. Maybe that'll change once the game gets going. But this is a feeling entering a finals that I've never actually had. Billy? Do you agree with me that this is a house money series?
It's interesting. So
I agree with it. I feel like after one game, especially if the Heat win today, you're not going to feel that way anymore.
No, I'll feel like they should win. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you get there, you're going to have TCB once you're there. You know what I mean?
I don't know if it is or not. I don't know if I agree. I know what you're saying. Like, if they don't win another game, you're happy. It's been a great run. They took you to places you never thought you... never thought you would be this year, but I think once you're there and the opportunity to beat LeBron James in a bubble with no fans, no travel, none of that stuff, I'm not certain if Heat fans agree. I think the Heat fans, maybe because the team has been so good, Tony, that maybe there are expectations. Hey, if we beat the Bucks, we could beat the Lakers. Why not?
Yeah, I think there's expectations, but one of the things, at least for me personally, that I've been missing since we talked about, okay, 06 was the first, you know, run for the championship for the Miami Heat, and then you had to make the blueprint work for the big three. I feel like since I was so young at that point, like learning basketball and really understanding what the game was and what the stakes were, I get to where I am now and rooting for the Miami Heat, I feel like some of my neurons have been burned from how high the stakes were with the big three, that we come into the series and I'm like, meh, not big as stakes as there was back in the day. And it's hard for me to get that. And you know, friends have told me it's hard for me to get that same high that I used to get, because when I first had that high, it was like, man, I'm flying. Now it's like, you know what? I don't have it anymore.
We'll see what sort of juice gets added to this. Even with Boston, and I don't like Boston just because of what I consider to be one of our fiercest historic rivals. Not the fiercest, but up there. Twitter wasn't the battleground that it was with the big three. But
it wasn't.
Yeah. This series, though, pits probably nationally recognized the two most annoying basketball fan bases in terms of Twitter. I guarantee you I would have been emotional and fiery if the Miami Heat somehow played the Philadelphia 76ers. Unfortunately for them, they got swept out of the playoffs and were a trash team with a trash fan base. But I would have felt like, okay, I feel like a part of me is out on that court. I think once we get going with this game and we start watching it supplementally with social media, parts of Lakers Twitter might enter our atmosphere and we'll get that juice. I'll be honest and emotional. Entering game one, I'm not there yet. Where
something needs to happen. There needs to be a spark. So it can happen on social media or perhaps.
I could just see Rajon Rondo's face and that'll change everything and bring everything back to me.
That could be it. Or maybe Jimmy Butler, a little altercation, little bump, little physical with LeBron James, letting him know, hey, my team now. My team now, and we're going to beat you. Like, I love that Jimmy Butler is entering this series saying, hey, we're not the underdogs. We're here. We beat the Bucks. We beat the Celtics. We're just as good. And there are no fans. I love Jimmy Butler. I have fallen in love with Jimmy Butler. I have.
So when the Miami Heat played the Pacers, you feel like it's a rival because of the uniform, obviously, and their short rivalry, but also because of the T.J. Warren and Jimmy Butler stuff.
Right.
And then that quickly dissipated as the Miami Heat ran away with that series. Bucks, I mean, you want to beat the two-time reigning MVP, but generally a likable team with a likable fan base.
It's Milwaukee.
I've got no problems with them.
Right.
Now, Boston, you have the Boston media. You have the Boston fan base. But in terms of those players wearing that green uniform, you don't have a playoff history with them. But you look at the Lakers. Now, you've never matched up with the Lakers in the NBA Finals, but you got LeBron there. You got Vogel there. You got Rondo there. Hell, you've got Danny Green, who's going to somehow revert back to the fast break stopping monster, no doubt, in this series. There are actual players that the Miami Heat have a legitimate playoff history with on the opposite side. So those players specifically can tap into emotions past, and then maybe I'll get emotionally invested to the point where I ratchet up my dislike for the opponent, which adds fuel to the fire and makes for a more pleasurable experience if you actually win. But if you don't win, then it's a house money series, and you don't wear it the way that you would have worn it the time of the big three.
All the pieces are there, right? Like Rondo, Vogel, Danny Green, just Dwight Howard, just because he's there.
Who's
right?
missing? Like, I say Lance Stevenson, but anyway.
Oh, Deion Waiters.
Yeah. Waiters is not going to make an appearance. He hasn't been contributing to them. Who's going to be the guy? Is it going to be Caruso? Who's going to be the one that gets under your skin?
Wow, what if Waiters gets the Solly Hill minutes for the Lakers?
Oh, boy.
Then they're in a worse place than we thought.
then it's Heat in five, like all jokes aside. I've got legitimately no idea how this series plays out. You could give the prediction and who you think is going to win, and that's fine. But I've got no idea exactly how about you go winning, right?
Should we call Laz and ask Laz what he thinks?
Let's ask. We should. And by the way, we haven't gotten Dan's prediction yet.
Yeah.
Well,
teased it for later.
It was later.
Yeah. Later.
A day later.
Yeah. I've got no idea how this series goes. I've got no idea how you guard LeBron. Zone was cute and cool against Boston. But a 35-year-old LeBron James who can cut, who can dish, who's cerebral, who can make shots, that's usually a gimmicky defense that he'd laugh at, even though Dallas had success with it in 2011. The Miami Heat have plenty of guys on their roster who, when they played elsewhere, were the designated LeBron stopper. From Jimmy Butler to Andre Iguodala to Jay Crowder, hell, believe it or not, even Solomon Hill was a LeBron stopper guy when he was with Indiana.
The Solly minutes. I mean,
and Bam Adebayo can match up with LeBron James. I don't think there is one answer as to how you guard LeBron James. I think there are several, because there were several ways to stop in Giannis, and that's like the only real comp that Giannis has. And LeBron's a more polished, smarter version and a more complete version of that. What do we see here in terms of...
You want Bam on LeBron. You want Bam on Anthony Davis, don't you?
I think, well, for the most part, but this is not a man-on-man series. I think you give multiple looks, and you try to unsettle them, and you confuse them, and you switch, and occasionally you use a baseline as your defender. You pack the paint sometimes. I think you revert back to the defense you saw more against Milwaukee and force a team in Los Angeles who, while very good and clearly in the NBA Finals, has actually struggled in the bubble on their spot-up shooting. So you make them shoot their way out of whatever defensive look. Tony, you pour over the podcast. You're a big basketball head. What do you expect?
My one worry is this. Like, Anthony, we have the best two players in the NBA still left on the Los Angeles Lakers. And my worry is this, that Bam is going to be so taxed by trying to cover Anthony Davis and LeBron James in different looks and different sets on defense that he's going to be gassed on offense, right? So we have to have somebody who would be the main scorer, or who would you like to be the main scorer on offense, and Bam Adebayo, you know, burning both ends of the candle on in this game. So I think, to me, it's almost like leaving him on one guy, leaving him on an Anthony Davis where he can, you know, use his skill set to battle Anthony Davis in a very similar skill set between each other, than having to cover LeBron on the three-point line in the perimeter. I think that's a recipe for disaster on just gassing him out really quickly.
So we're still classifying Bam Adebayo as one of those guys that if he gives you his all on one end, you're going to get diminishing returns on the other end? Or do we trust maybe the growth and development that we saw just within that Boston series in which he was the Heat's leading scorer in that series? I mean, the final quarter of the elimination game in Game 6, we saw Bam Adebayo for a full quarter give it to you on both ends. I think it's a very tall order for Bam to do that throughout a series, though.
And who is he covering?
Right.
We're talking about Daniel Tice.
Sure.
Or, you know, the Time Lord or the other Williams guy. They have 14 Williams players.
Wait, so what are you saying? Are you saying put Bam not even on Anthony Davis, put him on a lesser player and let him be active offensively?
If they're going to run AD at the four and bring in a McGee.
It's a McGee series.
Dwight Howard.
Right.
Right. Like you almost have him play that help side defense on the lesser big and then always have him in help side to whoever it is. The problem is the Heat are undersized from the jump, right? So you're going to have a Jay Crowder, you're going to have a Jimmy Butler trying to guard not only LeBron James, but also Anthony Davis, right? So like that missing, you know, big defensive big is going to hurt the Heat in the series, I think. And that's what I hope doesn't happen. I think they can try and figure out, and Spo has some pretty good ideas of how to match up with LeBron after this many years. My thing is, he's not going to be guarding Tice the entire series, right? It's going to be AD, it's going to be LeBron, it's going to be somebody.
And you're putting Jimmy on LeBron. And then in that scenario, you're putting Jimmy on LeBron. But then who's taking Anthony Davis, right? Okay.
We've seen the Miami Heat be a good defensive team inside the bubble, one that doesn't really match up with the metrics they put up pre-pandemic. They don't have that second big, and I think it's a stretch to do this. But if we look into their previous matchups, specifically the home loss that I don't believe Goran Dragic actually played in that game. It was early in the season. It was a one-possession game against the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers absolutely destroyed Miami on the glass. And I do think because Miami specifically doesn't have that glass-eating second big on this roster right now, that's going to be a real problem. Second-chance points really erase some inefficiencies that the Los Angeles Lakers might have from spot-up shooting, for example. So I am really worried there. If Dwight's on, you go small, maybe you can exploit it. But if they're going to get twice the amount of opportunities that you are, that's a great equalizer.
I think the series is going to be won in the backcourt with the guard play, right? Because you look at the Lakers guards and you'd say their front court is better with LeBron with AD, but who do you have on the guard play that can match up with Goran, with Tyler, with all these different guards that the Heat are going to throw their way? That's where I think the series can be exploited, is in that inefficiency with, who do they have? Rondo, Danny Green, I'm forgetting, Caruso, like guys that are just okay.
KCP, right? Morris could be an important player for them in this series.
Is Avery Bradley still there?
No, Avery Bradley never made it to the bubble.
I'm looking back at that game, by the way. Goran did not play in that game. Duncan Robinson started. Kendrick Nunn was the starting point guard in that game. The first Laker game this year.
Yeah. That was earlier in the season. Yes. Miami's a completely different team, but Miami still generally has the same personnel, and I think those matchup problems still exist in terms of offensive rebounding. If Dwight gets minutes, it's sort of you sort of lean into his strengths and hope they outweigh his deficiencies when Miami goes a little smaller.
My apologies, Dragic did play. He came off the bench.
Oh, he did.
I was looking at the starting line. Yeah, he played 30. He actually played 34 minutes. Had 19.7, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. Yes,
he had a good game then.
Right. So that was back when Olynyk was still getting 30 plus minutes. Myers Leonard was starting at center. It's a different team, Mike.
Are we going to see Myers Leonard?
That's actually the big, right?
Right.
We're going to see him flex during timeout.
That's the glass-eating big, and that's actually not a bad call. Right? Is Myers Leonard going to get the Solomon Hill minutes? Because we're trying to figure out who's that second big that can match up with if they go with their Dwight Howard lineup, who's the guy that can, you know, just put a hip into somebody and try to prevent those second chance opportunities.
I think I have that guy, but Myers Leonard, just so we know, that first game, 12 minutes, 0 points, 1 rebound. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he wasn't very good.
Yeah.
I suggest that we put Haslam in to use those 6 very hard fouls and all of them on LeBron James. Every single one of them. Udonis, go in and only foul that guy right there, and he'll do it. Obvious.
I'm going to mark out if Udonis gets any playing time in that series. whatsoever.
I would start him. I'd just have him hack LeBron for 5 minutes.
Just come in. Yes. Wait, didn't Popovich do that with Shaq? Like the ball was tipped and then he immediately hack a Shaq? You do that right away with Udonis Haslem. Just throws a bow at LeBron James and Spo brings him off.
Yeah. Yeah. Six very hard fouls that hopefully injure him. What?
We really shortened the bench in that series against Boston, which has been Spo's calling card when he had more top-heavy teams. If Miami Heat's strength is its depth, he's still going eight deep. Who's going to be the eighth guy?
I don't know. Maybe it's Myers. Myers Leonard in the second game against the Lakers, 113 to 110, the Lakers won. Myers Leonard was still starting. He was the starting center. 14 minutes, 5 points, one assist, no rebounds. In two games against the Lakers, Myers Leonard had one rebound.
I mean, maybe not the glass eater we thought.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I think you're going to see, not that he's already earned the playing time, and given what the Lakers will show you, Tyler Hero's got to play a lot. But the part of Tyler Hero's game that you may need the most, surprisingly, is his rebounding ability. In a series like this where Lakers entering it, most people assume they have the rebounding advantage. Tyler Hero is an exceptional rebounder for his position. I think he's just exceptional at rebounding regardless. He's going to be one of these guys as he continues to develop and hopefully he makes the right decisions. Zach Harper says what Tyler Hero is good at is making decisions. They're just often not the best ones. With more playing time, more experience, he's going to be better at his decision making, but he could be a sneaky double-double, near triple-double guy if he is actually the plan at point guard in terms of initiating offense, in terms of his growth and development. Huge series for him.
Yes.
Because you need his rebounding.
Dragic did not play in that second game, so that's what you were thinking of.
And that second game was a blowout. Miami had a terrible performance that game.
I think that's the big difference, right? When you talk about this Heat team being different, I think really what is different is Bam's a bit better, right, than he was even during the regular season. He was great. And Tyler Hero is just a different player, playing with a different confidence. And so is Duncan Robinson.
Yeah, and Bam's become a more tenacious rebounder, too. Because, you know, Boston's got some glass eaters on their team, and Bam just wouldn't be denied. And it jumped off the screen. Milwaukee's also a very good rebounding team, and he's better at reading where the rebounds are going, but he's also just ultra-competitive. But I am starting to worry, is he going to get gas? We saw in Game 5 where he called himself terrible. You're asking a lot of Bam Adebayo. For the Miami Heat to win, Jimmy Butler, I don't think, can be their best player. He's going to need to be their second-best player, and you're going to need to see someone, and presumably Bam Adebayo, elevate their game to yet another level. That's asking a lot of a player that we've never seen that from.
And the other thing, too, is Jimmy can't disappear in the fourth quarter, right? We can't have a Jimmy Butler who's 0-for-1, has no assist, one rebound, and just for 8 minutes of the game, he's disappeared, right? He's in the corner somewhere. He's not handling the ball and creating offense. One of the cool things about Tyler, too, is that he's great at picking spots, right? Like, he's great at being at a spot for a rebound. And I think that's what makes him such a good rebounder, is that he understands the caroms of the basketball against the rim. He's always in good spots. And I think that's another thing that can be exploited in this series, is in Boston and with Milwaukee, those two teams were really great guard rebounding teams, right? You have the Lakers, who are more big dominated rebounder. I mean, obviously Rondo is who he is, and he's going to grab rebounds because he's just a freak athlete. But there's definitely an exploitable way to get around those offensive rebounds, is getting the guards involved in trying to get rebounds.
I'm getting this from Hembo, at Paul Hembo on Twitter. LeBron in 9 finals appearances, Mike, they've only won game one once. He's 1-8 in game one NBA finals.
The game one was a series that he ended up losing against Dallas. Yeah, LeBron always.
The shadow boxing, the corner, him and Wade, third quarter. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, that was game two. We felt like that series was
game
over.
Two.
Yeah, we felt like that series was over.
Wait,
was,
so do we want him to win or lose game one?
I don't know.
We want him to lose game one.
Yeah.
We want him
to not win either, though.
Yeah. Seems like when he loses, he wins. When he wins, he loses.
Exactly. I mean,
except the two times he lost that he won. I mean,
how many final series has LeBron lost when he actually had the better team? This is the one. It's the one.
07 versus the Spurs. Spurs were better.
Spurs were much better.
Yeah.
He should have beat the Mavs.
They were the better team.
Yeah, they beat the Spurs, which is the closest thing to a tie I've ever seen in an NBA Finals. And then the Spurs took it to another level, and everyone could say the Spurs were better than Miami at that point in the season. He actually won one that he shouldn't have, being down 3-1. But every single one of those series against the Warriors were easily favored in terms of being the better team.
But it's interesting, when he's lost game one, he is 3-5 in the NBA Finals. And when he's won game one, he's 0-1 in the NBA Finals. So Billy's question is a valid question. I mean, do you want a win or a loss tonight, Bill?
I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to hold on to that like a binky if they actually lose game one. You think it turns for me, Billy, as soon as this tips off?
If they take a lead, and God help us if they're up 2-0, because then it's not going to be a house money series at all.
No, it must win.
Right? If they win two
or Mike
games,
is going to set fire to the Blaze.
Everyone's going to be fired in the organization if they lose to LeBron after being up 2-0.
I love Mike's casual approach headed into this series, a house money series. Get the hell out of here.
I swear, it feels different than any of the... My only frame of reference is the other NBA Finals that the Miami Heat have been on. And this, for very obvious reasons, is different because no one expected this.
Billy, forget about if they win game one and two. If they're up 5 after the first quarter, Mike's going to expect them to win the series.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, this is going to be... This is going to... Wow. And you don't have couches yet. So what do you do? Ooh. Do you just pace around?
I stand up.
I don't envy your wife. She has to be like...
She already told me I'm out. She said... She saw the start time. She's so pissed that the 6:30 tip-off times are gone.
Right.
And I think she speaks for the majority of the East Coast, because those 6:30 tip-off times were great. She told me flat out, no way I make it. Don't expect me there. I'm like, it's LeBron. It's the Lakers. She just dismisses it out of hand.
I don't blame her.
I do take issue with the 6:30 start times, but then you realize that people are going to lunch during the 3:30 start in the West Coast. People are just grabbing lunch at work. It's like, you know what? We could kick it back a little bit.
Well, the Marlins game starts at 11 on the West Coast.
He's waking up. Little fish.